Thanks for joining us today for our Thursday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we're continuing our study in the book of Exodus. So let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
If you need a Bible, raise your hand and we'll put a Bible in your hand. We're going to be in the book of Exodus here this morning. And we are going to be in Exodus 15. We're going to finish up Exodus 15. Six verses. There's a lot there. Okay. So, but we are going to be able to finish up with that here this morning. Exodus is a story of the birth of a nation, of the Hebrew people, the Israelites. It is a story of Israel's salvation, God saving Israel from the hands of the Egyptians in order for them to serve and worship him. So there's a purpose here. Their salvation is so that they will serve him, that they will worship him. I'm here to tell you, that is exactly why you have been saved as well. To serve him. To worship him. As wonderful it is that Jesus came and died for our sin, that is awesome. Don't get me wrong. But you really miss out if you don't see your purpose in that. That yes, he loves you. Yes, he came down to show his great love for us. That is the purpose of doing that. But now his purpose becomes your purpose. And as he walked this earth, Jesus himself, what did he do? He worshiped and served God as an example to us that we have been saved to worship and serve him. So God has definitely delivered the Israelites from the Egyptians. Israel did not have the power to free themselves from Egypt. To release Israel from the hands of Egypt, God had to offer up his Passover lamb. The lamb was sacrificed, the blood applied to the doorposts of their houses. The angel of death, the destroyer, came, passed over the houses of those who applied the blood of the sacrificial lamb. The angel of death, the destroyer, then brought death to all the Egyptians' households in the death of all their firstborns, thus weakening, breaking the grip Egypt had on Israel, thus allowing the Hebrew people to go and serve and worship God. As Israel left Egypt, they too went through a baptism of sorts in crossing of the Red Sea. They too went into the depths of the water and came out on the other side. Symbolic of Egypt was now behind them. They could not go back. The water has separated them from their old life. The historical record shows the pattern today is the same for our salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. Egypt is sin, the world, and we do not have the power to free ourselves from sin, from this world. God had to intervene, much that he did with the Israelites, and so he sends us a sacrificial lamb, his son, Jesus Christ. He is our Passover lamb who shed his blood on the cross to release us from the bondage of sin. And we too, like Israel, have applied that blood, believed upon the work done for us on the cross by Jesus. For what reason? In order to be saved, to be delivered from sin and death. Just as God through the cloud led Israel through the Red Sea, so too did Jesus in his death and burial pass through the deep waters of death and was resurrected on the other side. All of this is seen in Christian baptism. When we are baptized, it signifies our separation. It illustrates our separation from the old life of the bondage of sin into a new life of worship and service of our Lord Jesus Christ. Israel's exodus was a forecast of a greater exodus that would take place for us, Christian deliverance from sin through death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, the experience of Israel living in slavery, trusting in the blood of the Lamb, crossing from death to life, singing the song of salvation, as we saw in Exodus chapter 15. But now they're about to embark on the long journey, learning to live a life of obedience, being sanctified, set apart for the purposes of God, so that they could finally reach the promised land. This is also the same for God's church today, is that we have experienced the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us on the cross. And because that sets our journey towards him, heaven. And guess what? That journey is going to have a lot of issues, a lot of trials, a lot of things God is going to allow to come our ways in order to sanctify us. Well, what is sanctification? David, sounds like such a complicated word. It really is, and it means holy. Okay, I don't know what holy means. Okay, that's good. It means sanctification. So when you think of the holy instruments to the Lord in the temple, those are just things, but they're holy. Why are they holy? Because they've been set apart for the purposes of God. That's all that means. We are to be holy because he is holy. Because Jesus was set apart for the purposes of God, we need to be set apart for the purposes of God. And that doesn't happen the moment you receive Christ. Oh, the gift is given at that point in the person of Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes inside of you. You now have everything you need in order to be sanctified, in order to have victory over sin. But it takes time. It's a process. And nobody's a super Christian overnight. And we learn along our journey. And there's going to be many mishaps. And we're going to fall. The key is to quickly go to God and ask forgiveness and ask him to teach you what it is that he wanted you to know through that trial. And then you can learn from that as you continue on this walk with the Lord. And we're going to see this with Israel. And we're going to see they didn't do very well. And we're going to see that one of the things that I think that we have in common with Israel is that Israel is a whiny and complaining people, and so are we. I want you to go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Check this out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10, starting here in verse 1. We read about the Old Testament examples, okay? And Paul is trying to explain to the Corinthian church, look, God has given us the Old Testament, has given us the patriarchs, given us Israel, the birth of the nation, and how they came through the wilderness as an example. And if God did this with the Israelite people as an example to us, we better sit up straight and take notice. And not for a moment think, well, that's how he dealt with people back then. Surely, through his grace and mercy, he's not going to punish his people today. That's a foolish thing to think. God disciplines those that he loves. And we're told in Hebrew, he disciplines his children. Okay? So, here in chapter 10, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses. Notice them going through the sea is the same as a baptism, okay? Into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, manna, okay? And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Interesting. With most of them, God was not well pleased. How do you know? Well, if you just look at the bodies scattered throughout the wilderness of his judgment upon them time and time again, was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, these things that we just mentioned here became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. Now he's going to mention five things, okay? The first things he mentions here is in verse 6. We should not lust after the things as they also lusted. They always lusted in going back to Egypt where they had fish. Oh, the cucumber. Oh, the leeks. The melons. Wow. God's trying to bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey, but they can only think of that. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We see that here shortly. I don't know how shortly, but we'll see that as they, you know, make the golden calf and things like that. Oh my goodness, how many days away from Egypt and from the time of the separation of the Red Sea, and you're doing this? Are you kidding me? Don't become like them, where they rise up and they eat and drink and rose up to play. Third thing, nor let them commit sexual immorality as some of they did, and in one day 23,000 fell. This one is really amazing to me. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. What? How did they tempt Christ? And what event are they talking about where they were destroyed by serpents? The word test there means to put to the test. The word tempt there means put to the test. Do not test the Lord Christ to see if he is going to punish or not. I want you to go over here. I find this very fascinating. I want you to go over here to Numbers chapter 21. Keep your hand here. We're going to come back there. But Numbers 21, we see Christ all through this. We still might go over this at a later date. But Numbers 21, verse 4, it says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against who? God. And against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food, no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. Are you kidding me? Next week, Lord willing, we're going to get into chapter 16, which talks about the manna from heaven that God brings and sustains the people for 40 years. And this bread was like a coriander seed, and it was light, and it was fluffy and airy with a little touch of honey to it. I love honey. I'm a honey connoisseur. And yet, this amazing provision of God, this miracle of God that he shows them every single morning on their walk, besides the Sabbath, because on the Sabbath he didn't provide that because he provided twice as much on the day before. They see a heavenly miracle every single morning. And yet they have the audacity to call it worthless bread. Wow. Wow. You don't think you're testing God when you do that? You don't think you're tempting him to kind of go, I think we need an attitude adjustment. I think the rod needs to be given here. I think some need to be put in their place to understand I am God and you are not. And how dare you call something that I have provided through my love worthless? Wow. 1 Corinthians 10, we're told that they tempted Christ, that they were testing Christ. Here we're told they're testing God. And because of that, in verse 6, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. They bit the people. Many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses, we have sinned. No kidding. For we have spoken against who? The Lord, Yahweh. They have tempted, they have tested God. They have tested Yahweh. They have tested Christ, which tells me Jesus, the Christ, is Yahweh, is God. We also know that Jesus is who? The bread of life. He goes on explaining in John chapter 6 that, look, this manna that you had come down from heaven, guess what? That speaks of me. I'm the bread of life. Okay? And so there's a lot of things in here, but what I want to show you is that they're tempting Christ. As we've been showing along the way, Yahweh is Jesus. Okay? And Paul sees that, and he writes it in such a way that we should be able to make that connection. That we should be able to make that connection. And so it says here, so Moses prayed to the people, and the Lord, Yahweh, said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole. It shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, so it was, if the serpent had bitten anyone, then he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. What's the point of that? Because again, it speaks of Christ, who's going to be lifted up on a cross. And he's going to become a serpent? No, but what does a serpent represent? It represents sin. It represents the curse. And so they're going to have to look upon their curse, their sin. And that's exactly what happened when Jesus was on the cross. He took on our sin and became sin for us, not actual sin, but sin offering is what that means. And so we see Jesus all through this. And he says, they tempted God. Do not do the same thing and tempt Christ, Jesus, who is God. You know, you read the first four, and you're kind of going, okay, I'm not, you know, you can look at it and say, yeah, sometimes I lust after the old life and Lord is working with me through that. Okay. But I'm not an idolater. Well, you know, we all have phones. You seem to carry those around everywhere, you know. Idolatry is still the same thing when we put something before the Lord. If something is such a major distraction, it keeps us from meeting with God the way that we should, that's an idol. Oh, wow, there's something I probably should work on. Yeah. Let us not commit sexual immorality as some of they did, and 23,000. Okay, I think I'm doing pretty good there. Let us not tempt Christ, put him to the test. I think we do that. I think that quite often we put him to the test because some sort of provision he's given us we think is now worthless. But it's this fifth one that all of us, I'm pretty sure, could raise with both hands, guilty as charged, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. We're going to get more into this in a moment, but sometimes we look at complaining as an art form. We do it with flair. We do it with gusto. We do it with some clever sarcasm, and we call it wit. But it's still complaining, you know. It's still complaining. Now, all these things, verse 11, happen to them as examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Because no temptation has overtaken you except such is common to man, but God is faithful. Every time we have an opportunity to complain, I'm here to say it's a test. That is always a test. That's always a temptation. What's the temptation? To complain. To complain. But no temptation, no testing, no trial that has ever overtaken you except such is common to man. You're not being tested. You're not being tempted in a way that nobody has ever experienced before. Although, I can't tell you how often we all hear this. We hear this especially from our kids. You don't understand. Oh my goodness. Wow, you got 14 years under that belt, huh? You know it all. I don't understand. Really. I'm going through something. You have no idea. Here's the interesting thing. This is what sickens me. When I hear that from somebody who's 30, 40, 50, 60. You don't understand. I do understand. Doesn't mean I have to go through exactly one steps, 1 through 10 of what you've gone through and whatever your trial or whatever your temptation is. But others have. And what you're going through is common. And God has allowed it to come your way because this is His way to develop you as you journey in your walk with Christ. And He tells us right now, God is faithful, who will not allow for you to be tested beyond what you're able. But with that temptation or testing will also make the way of escape. There is a way to get through this.
There's no way out of this.
Yes, there is. Because I believe God, I don't believe you. I believe God, that you may be able to bear it.
I can't get through this. I can't do it.
Yes, you can. And we're here to help you. You're not here to bear it alone. And we will walk with you in the direction that God has given, not walk with you in the direction He has not given. That we won't walk you through. We'll be there for you. We'll love on you. But we can only walk you through the way that God has provided. And we will not walk with you any other way. Know that. And through that testing, yeah, you will always be tested in the fifth one there, verse 10. How are you handling that testing? Are you complaining? It's a good question to ask. We're not here to beat you over the head. Stop whining, stop crying. We're not going to tell you that. I will tell you this, the Holy Spirit certainly will. Holy Spirit certainly will. And so, again, understand when we see Israel go through what they're going through, we could say, you bunch of whiners. 3 days ago, God just brought you through, and now you're complaining about this? What has God done for you in the last week? If you can't answer that question, there's something wrong with your understanding and your relationship with the Lord. Because His mercies are new every day. His grace, His love, His mercy He has poured out. And you should be able to thank the Lord. There's a reason why God's word says rejoice sometimes. We call seeing that. It says rejoice what? Always. Pray without what? Ceasing. In everything give thanks. And here's the kicker. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. What? Let nothing ever
separate us. That concludes this Thursday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Listen in tomorrow as we continue our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.